Rotor.
We'll pass over a couple bills waiting the arrival of some of the House members. In the meantime, Senate Bill 5528. Oh, excuse me, Senate Bill 5509. Senator Crowe, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5509 is the budget bill for the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission. The commission's primary responsibility is to develop a state criminal justice policy and long-range comprehensive public safety plan for Oregon. The commission also provides analytical and statistical information to federal agencies, serves as a clearinghouse and information center for the collection, preparation, analysis, and dissemination of state and local sentencing practices, provides technical assistance to local public safety coordinating councils, adopts sentencing guidelines, and administers juvenile crime prevention grants. The recommended total budget is $23.4 million. The budget is supported by $19.3 million general funds, 71,000 other funds, and $4 million federal funds. The overall general fund increase from 1999-01 is due to roll-up of the juvenile crime prevention grants. Subcommittee reduced the governor's budget by $154,413 when it eliminated a policy planning position, reduced services and supplies based on expenditure patterns, and adjusted for revised assessment rates from DAS, AG, PERS, the Secretary of State Audit, and Telecommunications. The subcommittee also directed the commission to work closely with the Juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee to strengthen the state's prevention efforts. The subcommittee, Public Safety Subcommittee, unanimously recommends approval of this budget.
You've heard the motion to approve Senate Bill 5509 out to the Senate as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Senate Bill 5528, Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5528 is the budget bill for the Insurance Pool Governing Board. The seven-member board administers two programs designed to increase access to private health insurance. The Marketing Information Outreach Program serves as a central source for small employers and individuals for access to information about health care resources and health insurance. The Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, known as FEOP, provides premium subsidies to previously uninsured, low-income families and individuals so they can afford to purchase private health insurance. Budget is just under $20.6 million from all fund sources and continues staffing at 11.5 FTE. This includes $525,529 general fund and $20,032,018 other funds. The other funds include $19,980,287 in tobacco settlement funds. Overall, the budget is 2.9% below estimated 99-01 expenditures and 8.9% below the cost of maintaining the current service level. The budget reflects three changes from the governor's recommended level. Administrative expenditures are reduced $1,455 to reflect reduced state government assessments and charges. Administrative services and supplies were reduced by $3,047. And the FEOP budget itself was reduced by $2 million to reflect both the governor's and co-chair's budget balancing plans. Budget notice included directing the agency to report to the emergency board in spring of 2002 concerning the status of FEOP as part of the Oregon Health Plan federal waiver request and on the potential subsidy changes and other program adjustments that might follow for expanded FEOP services. Subcommittee recommends approval of 5528 as amended.
Thank you. You've heard the recommendation to move Senate Bill 5528 as amended out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Representative Patridge.
Just real quickly, Mr. Co-Chair, I just made a comment in subcommittee that I wanted to make in full. I don't think we have a comprehensive plan for tobacco settlement monies that any chamber has agreed on, nor with the governor in the long range. I will vote for this budget, but I'm just cautious that we're spending tobacco settlement dollars like kind of general fund dollars, and we're going to have some roll-up, and there's no assurance that these monies will continue to come in. Beyond that, I know that we need to do this to get things moving, so I will be voting aye, but I want to just put that on the record.
Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, I also will be voting aye. I do agree with the previous speaker. I do believe we need a comprehensive health-dedicated policy with tobacco settlement funds. I think it is risky business to use it as general fund revenue. However, I see a close relationship between the FEOP program and the tobacco settlement funds, and I will vote aye.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Senate Bill 5538, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Cochise. Senate Bill 5538 is the budget bill for the Department of State Police. The budget has already passed the Senate by a 29-1 vote and was returned to the Ways and Means Committee for an appropriation transfer and technical bill correction. Neither action reduces the previously approved budget. Your Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously and enthusiastically recommends your support. The appropriation transfer is based on amendments to House Bill 3977, which directed $1.7 million in 9/11 telephone tax revenue be used on a one-time basis to purchase dispatch equipment at the new Central Communication and Coordination Center. This allows $494,946 included in Senate Bill 5538 for debt service to be redirected into the department's operating budget to address the highest restoration priority overtime expenses. The Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously recommends Big Cheese's approval and other members.
Senator Miller, we appreciate your enthusiastic support for this. Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the recommendation that we pass Senate Bill 5538 as amended out to the House with a due pass recommendation? Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make a comment. I think the subcommittee did an amazing job on this proposal. I am going to support this proposal, but I do not think we have adequately funded the Oregon State Police, nor have we for the last several years. So I voted no before, but I won't today. But it's an ongoing concern about law enforcement throughout the state of Oregon.
Well, Senator Miller was in session for about 3 more months, and enough maple bars, maybe we can get there. Is there further discussion? Not, it's been so approved. We'll move back up to House Bill 5032, House Bill 5032, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill authorizes the website linkage and advertising for the Board of Tax Service Examiners. It authorizes certain fee increases and an increase in maximum penalties by the State Board of Accountancy, and authorizes 2 fee increases for the public employee retirement system. The bill allows the fee changes to remain in effect permanently. Absent this bill, state law would require that the increases adopted administratively would be rescinded effective July 1st, 2001. The bill removes other fee increases that have already been subject to ratification in other bills or which have been previously approved during other budget hearings. A technical change to the Board of Accountancy was also made to correct an oversight in this bill, and the subcommittee recommends Ways and Means approval of House Bill 5032.
Is there discussion on House Bill 5032? The motion is to recommend House Bill 5032 as amended out to the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection?
I'll be ahead, no.
Representative Schrader will be recorded as voting no. All others, aye. House Bill 5036, PUC. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. You'll recognize the PUC back again. This is the -2 amendments to the PUC bill. Previously, the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee was seeking more accountability from the agency, approved the amendments to House Bill 5036 that delete the agency's lump sum other funds expenditures limitation and establish an individual limitation for each of 7 program areas, which are all separate and distinct. The full committee heard that this was likely, those would likely mean additional appearances by the agency in front of the EE board to adjust the limitations established in the bill, but it also heard that an increased accountability would be an outcome. The bill passed the Ways and Means unanimously, and it was passed to the floor, but was returned to Ways and Means from the Senate side prior to a floor vote there in the Senate. Because the concerns expressed by the agency regarding its need to have more flexibility administering its budget, the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee adopted the -2 amendments, which combine individual limitations previously established for electricity, natural gas, and water utility programs into one line item. The subcommittee adopted a budget note requiring the agency to report the costs of each of these programs in lieu of individual limitations being established in the law. No other changes were made. The budget remains $275,059,809. and 122 positions, and we recommend your approval of House Bill 5036A as engrossed and as amended.
You've heard the recommendation to move House Bill 5036 as amended to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be voting no on this. I think the original work by the committee was more appropriate in terms of, and all this really does is allow these other utility to subsidize the water program, which doesn't collect enough money to manage its programs.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Is there objection other than Representative Hill? If not,
I'm a no.
Senator Yee votes no. The motion passes. Senate Bill 5547, Senator Clarno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5547 is the bill authorizing fee increases established during the 9901 interim. Adoption of new fees or fee increases are approved by the Department of Administrative Services during the interim. These new fees or fee increases will revert back to the prior level on July 1 unless authorized by the legislature. The fees for winter recreation area parking permits were adopted through the administrative rule process set forth in the Administrative Procedures Act. The department's budget assumed these fee levels to address program needs. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5547.
You've heard the motion to recommend Senate Bill 5547 as amended to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? If not, is there objection? It's approved. Other bills reported out of subcommittee, Senate Bill 38, relating to school size, Senator Crow.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 38, as amended by the Education Subcommittee, encourages, and that's the important word we're using here, encourages school districts to operate small schools. School districts are encouraged to operate kindergarten through grade 5 schools that serve no more than 400 students, grade 6 through 8 schools that serve no more than 500 students, and grade 9 through 12 schools that serve no more than 800 students. The bill, as amended, also encourages school districts to conform to the student-teacher ratios recommended in the Quality Education Model 2000. By adopting the Dash 2 amendments to encourage rather than mandate school size, the fiscal impact of the measure is reduced to zero. The Education Subcommittee heard testimony on the benefits of small school sizes, including more individual connections between students and adults in the school environment and fewer discipline problems. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill as amended.
You've heard the motion to send Senate Bill 38 out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, ordinarily this kind of a bill that sort of micromanages ordinarily, I would generally oppose, but actually because of the word encourage, I think it's just saying that we're recognizing that small schools do make a difference. And I certainly fall into that camp. I wish local school districts could do it. I think many of them would. I think it's a fiscal kind of a constraint in building buildings and so forth. But frankly, it's a good message. Maybe it doesn't do anything, but it gets it on the record and sort of establishes it. So I will support it, where ordinarily I might be opposed to micromanaging.
Representative Hill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm usually on the other side. I don't mind about micromanaging, but this sends the wrong message. This legislature hasn't done anything to help high-growth districts. This bill, in terms of if my district were to be encouraged to do this, would have to build 12 new schools. There's no money. There's no land in the urban growth boundary in which to do it. The governor's been unwilling to look at the issue of how to address the issue up in the urban area. The reality is that we do not have the ability to build these schools if we even had the money. There is no space left. The governor has been unwilling to address the issue in the high growth to allow schools to be built outside the urban growth boundaries. This sends the wrong message. And all this is going to be is a tool to be used to beat up on schools in terms of why the class sizes aren't that size. The legislature hasn't been willing to pony up any money to help the high-growth districts. This is an atrocious bill, and I would urge its defeat.
Representative Hayden.
A question either of the carrier or of the staff, Mr.
Chair. The carrier yield to a question.
Sure, Will.
Well, you most of you will remember that in the mid-90s we went through school consolidation in the interest of economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wondering, isn't this diametrically opposed to school consolidation? If we wanted to consolidate districts, first we asked the districts to consolidate, and now we're asking those same districts to build more schools within that same district. So what's the point? Why didn't we just leave the small schools where they were in the first place?
This is a change in direction. The author of the bill believes that it has been a mistake to push large schools and believes that better education occurs in smaller schools, so I think it is a change in direction. I still think probably a lot of the really small schools that weren't viable needed to be consolidated, but this is about the other idea, and that is that if you have a school that's the right size and not too large, you can do a better job.
Thank you.
Sure. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Similar point to this good representative from Hillsborough, only from Portland perspective, if we continue underfunding education the way we have, eventually Portland schools will get under this cap, but I think it's true attrition and underperformance. So
it's
I'll
a conspiracy
be
that
all.
We have with Portland.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. My good colleagues from Northeast Portland and Hillsborough have addressed some of my questions. I'm looking for some reassurance from the carrier that while this sounds innocent enough, some folks will never be able to do this. And I'm trying to look for some reassurance that this doesn't become a mechanism to chastise or work out on the large, fast-growing school districts that can never comply.
I certainly hope that that kind of thing would never happen, and certainly it's not my purpose in carrying the bill that should happen, because I do know that school districts have to have schools that they can afford, and I've taught in schools where a large school was the only thing we could have because that's all the funding would allow, and that seems to be the situation in Oregon often. But I think we ought to encourage a kind of direction, a kind of thinking that we want schools to be successful, and smaller and more manageable schools are. And I think if we use this the right way, it sends a good message, because it says that we want quality schools, and we think that quality schools, certainly big schools can be quality schools, and I'm not saying that they're not at all, but I think also that size does have something to do with quality, and I think we ought to consider that.
Thank you.
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to vote no on this Senate bill for some of the same reasons previously stated. I think it sets up unreasonable expectations. I'm also going to object to it for the fact that in line 18, it's adopting the quality education model of 2000. I think this is a backdoor way of trying to adopt the quality education model. The legislative committee worked on a quality education model, and the governor worked on a quality education model. We have had no debate or adoption of a quality education model where we're going to go in the state. And I don't know which staffing ratio we're talking about. Are we talking about the governor's? Are we talking about the legislatures? Are we talking about the one from previously? What's the right staffing ratio? I think it's a bad bill. I think it's a bad precedent. If we want to pass the quality education model, good. Then let's have the debate, pass the quality education model that people can agree to and shoot for the future. This is a backdoor way to adopt some quality education model, which I don't know which one it is, and sets up unreasonable expectations, so I'll be a no vote.
Senator Hardin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I urge all members to vote for this bill because it's about opportunity. The arguments I'm hearing now remind me of the arguments against charter schools in the 95 session when we first started on that, and there was all kinds of reasons why they would not work, could not work, and now they are working, and basically charter schools are smaller schools, and I say again, this is about opportunity, and of course it doesn't work for a high growth district. We have 198 school districts now, and about 137 of the 198 are dropping or losing enrollment, and there might be an opportunity here to enhance small schools. The present administration, President Bush's administration, has just made $400 million available for charter schools, and I can envision we could have a first-class high school, a public charter school, in some of these districts that are losing enrollment. So for me, this is all about opportunity, and I know you can raise every sort of question of why it would not work, could not work, but I tell you, when there's opportunity at the local level to recognize, number one, that there is some advantages in small school situation, even in large schools now. I can point out to you Westview High School in my district, largest high school in the state, and other high schools. They are, in a way, organizing the 9 through 12. They have different names for them, but in a way that the same teacher, they function like a small high school within a large high school. But, you can't say absolutely positively that this will work or not, but it is an opportunity, and I urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion, Senator Duncan?
Mr. Chair, if I could just make one comment, and not particularly about trying to push for this bill, but I think something needs to be clarified. And having been around school district reorganization and consolidation for many, many years, not as long, of course, as Senator Hartung, but I tell you, whenever you try to sell reorganization or consolidation as a way of saving money, you will lose, because you will not save money. You may gain efficiencies and different things, but never try to sell a reorganization. But people do that all the time. But I've always warned them, don't do it, because it'll come back to haunt you. It does not do that. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that for the record here someplace.
Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to vote in favor of this bill. There may still be a few of you here who remember that a few sessions ago we came through with a bill to separate a school district. And we had, the schools were in two separate counties. They were quite a distance apart. There was, not a lot of community of interest and so on and so forth, and they were struggling financially. It was really hard to do that because we were into the bigger is better mode. And today, so we did separate them, and today, several years later, I will tell you that Napa High School is still open because we did that, because the community embraced the school once it was theirs, and they have done everything under the sun. We've got the foundation, but everything to support it. I mean, they're up there pulling weeds and all of that. And it does what this amendment says. I mean, it's really for all of the students, because with the smaller ratio, you've got teachers who have a kindergarten student actually follow that student through. So, and they're there at the high school graduation of that student. And they go to the next year's teacher and say, you need to know that Johnny has difficulty with this, or how's he doing about that? They look over their shoulders. The superintendent will tell you that the kids leave their baseball bags out in the hallway because they don't fit in the lockers, and they never worry about somebody stealing them. I mean, there are so many advantages to the small school. Are there disadvantages? You bet. But there are so many advantages for all of the students, and I got to tell you that the philosophy of what we do in schools gets in the way of being able in those communities where they want to support a small school to be able to do it. And I am just really pleased to see that we're going to have something in the statutes that acknowledge the importance of small schools where they work. They don't work everywhere, but where they work, let us have them.
Is there further discussion? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll be a no vote on this bill, too. And I think that just as the good representative from Hillsborough has brought up the problems that this bill has the potential to cause in high-growth districts, it should be pointed out that in the rural districts where enrollments are falling off very quickly, that there are huge problems in keeping schools open because of the economies of scale issues, where we have to maintain building infrastructures on a limited number of the allotment that's available for a limited number of students. And it has the unintended consequence of limiting the depth and breadth of the teaching staff that you can have. And I think that this is not well thought out in terms of the needs of the rural districts, and for that reason, I'll vote no on it.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm concerned that this bill does deflect us away from our primary mission in schools, and that's to educate our youngsters. And if it's a feel-good bill to say what we'd like our class sizes to be, it really doesn't even address that. So with that, I'm going to register my no vote.
Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I had read the original Senate Bill 38 and not the amendments, and I could vote yes on the Senate bill, but not on the amendments with the sub 3 dealing with the quality education model. So okay. It would be a no, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? We'll take a roll call. The chair intends to vote for this bill because, out of respect for my good friend from Clackamas, Senator Duncan, this bill is Duncan-esque. It does nothing. Will the staff call
the
roll?
Representative Schrader.
Yes.
Butler.
No.
Etheridge.
No.
Winters.
In support of my friend, yes.
Hill.
No.
Ensign.
No.
Morgan.
No.
Hayden.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Westland.
Aye.
Senators Yee.
No.
Crowe.
Aye.
Duke.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
Hartung.
Aye.
Duncan.
Aye.
Florno.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Aye. And the motion passes. All right. Moving on to the next order of business. Mr. Stinson, would you give the vote count for that, please? Senator, you'd like to have it for records.
12 ayes, 8 nays. 12 ayes, 8 nays.
Maybe if you could explain the rule about full committee and subcommittee.
This is the full committee, and all it takes is a majority of the full committee.
It doesn't take 13 votes to pass?
No.
Actually, it only requires 11. There are 20 members of the full
There's
committee.
There's 20 members of the full, and it only takes 11. All right, Senate Bill 593, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 593 provides the Department of Education shall provide each approved Oregon pre-kindergarten with an instructional phonics team. The bill, as amended, allows the Department of Education to use funds appropriated to it for the Oregon pre-kindergarten program to pay the cost of the gains, estimated to be anywhere from $22,000 to $132,000. The department may also accept gifts, grants, donations, and federal funds for this purpose. The actual fiscal impact depends upon the game purchased. Currently, the cost of the game ranges from $50 to $300. The actual impact may be minimized because some individuals' programs may already have a game and decline to receive another one. The measure does not contain a sunset date, and therefore it is assumed that the department has an ongoing responsibility to replace the games as they become damaged or otherwise unused. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill as amended.
Is there a discussion? If not, Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Not having been privy to the discussion in committee, could you help me understand where the efficacy of this was demonstrated? What proof was offered to demonstrate the value of the games?
Yes.
Mrs. McGlashan, would you like to respond?
Mr. Chair and Representative Johnson, there really wasn't a discussion about the efficacy of the games. There was some discussion about how many Oregon pre-kindergarten programs currently use these games, but we really didn't talk about the efficacy.
I believe the efficacy originated in the Senate Education Committee. Is there further discussion? Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, okay. I cannot overstate my objection to this bill. Let me make it very clear. I believe in phonics. Phonics instruction is very, very important. And I'd be hard-pressed probably to find a school district that isn't using phonics in their school system. This is the epitome of micromanaging a local school district, folks. I understand we give a lot of the money, but to try to play the super school board in the sky role is absolutely wrong. What next will come along? We're dealing with a trademark, even, of a particular, in the statute, mind you, we're going to have a trademark of a particular thing we're pushing. Folks, this is just completely beyond what is the role of the Legislative Assembly. That's why you have elected school boards. You have a chance to look these things over, read the materials. Things go through a state textbook commission. Again, school districts have the right to use whatever they want. They just have to make a request for a variance if they have some other program they want to use. But, folks, this, look at the cost of this, $119. I mean, that should be a local school district responsibility, not at the state level. I really, really encourage non-support of this particular bill. All due respect to my colleagues.
Sure. Senator Trow.
I'm going to agree with Senator Duncan, and I'm going to be registered as a no on this as well. I agree with him. I think that we ought to leave these decisions to the Board of Education and not make them in this body.
Is there further discussion? Representative Johnson, you raise your hand.
Mr. Chair, are you going to do a roll call, or would you like objections registered now?
I'll just take registered objections now.
I'd like to be in.
There's you, and there's Senator Trow, Senator Dukes, Senator Duncan, and Senator Brown.
You got a few down there. Hill?
Why don't you take a roll call, Mr.
Mr. Chairman. Co-chair.
Senator Hartung.
Before we take the roll call, I want to make sure you understand that the general fund appropriation was deleted from this bill on amendment. So, contrary to what my good friend on the right said, there is no general fund appropriation.
Mr. Diz?
But, Mr. Chair, that's one of my concerns with the bill. This thing, according to this, could go up as high as $132,000, so I'm assuming that that just comes out of the Department of Education's budget. Which means it's not going into something else. And I was curious, will these be shipped to charter schools as well, or only the state-supported schools?
Representative Winters, do you have a response?
These are only pre, the kindergarten.
So Head Start schools.
Which are not.
Pre-K, so yes. They're Head Start, which are not ours.
They're not Head Start.
Do we?
I mean, they're not.
They're not state-supported schools.
Yeah, they're the Oregon pre-kindergarten.
Do we have any reason to believe that they'll be used when they're sent out? There's no requirement here. I mean, I understand bingo's a fun game, but...
Yeah.
I think it was the hope that you're providing another tool with which to learn, and that if they were provided, that they would be used.
The hope. Okay, thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, I too was puzzled by the inclusion of a trademark game in the staff measure summary, but it is not in the bill. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Mr. Stinson, would you please call the roll on the motion to send Senate Bill 593 as amended to the Senate with a due pass recommendation?
Representative Schrader.
Aye.
Butler.
Aye.
Hetrick.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Hill.
No.
Hanson.
No.
Morgan.
Aye.
Hayden.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Westland.
Aye.
Senator Yee.
Aye.
Throw.
No.
Dukes.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Arioli.
Aye.
Hartung.
Aye.
Duncan.
No.
Barnum.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
And the motion, aye, and the motion passes. Senate Bill 921.
That was the
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Miller.
Senate Bill 921 is a bill that addresses computer crime in the state of Oregon. The federal government has recognized the growing seriousness of computer crime throughout the nation, and in 2000 passed the Computer Crime Enforcement Act, giving grants for enforcing computer crimes. To be eligible for these funds, the law requires states to submit an assessment of state and local criminal justice resources regarding the investigation and enforcement of computer crimes. Senate Bill 921 creates a five-member task force selected by the governor to prepare an assessment of state and local computer crime resources. The task force will ensure that Oregon meets eligibility requirements for the federal grants and will coordinate federally funded computer crime programs with other federally funded technical assistance and training programs. The task force will serve on a volunteer basis, and the Department of Justice will provide the necessary support for the task force within existing department resources. The Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously recommends approval of Senate Bill 921.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the motion to send Senate Bill 921 out to the Senate with a do-pass recommendation? Is there objection? Not, it's been so approved. House Bill 2162, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2162A relates to forestry taxation and is intended to accomplish two objectives. First, the bill extends the Western Oregon Small Tract Option Tax Program to July 1st of 2003. This program helps small landowners in Western Oregon by giving them the option of paying their property taxes every year or paying privilege taxes when their timber is harvested. Second, this bill requires the Department of Forestry to convene a working group of six members from specified special interests to review state tax policy affecting forest land held in small ownerships of less than 5,000 acres. The bill provides $50,000 of general fund to the Department of Forestry to administer the work group. The general fund will be reimbursed in the 0103 biennium from the Western Oregon Timber Tax Account and the Eastern Oregon Timber Tax Account. The net effect of the bill on the general fund will be zero. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval of House Bill 2162A.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 2162? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest. I'm a small woodlot owner.
So noted. Representative Hill?
Briefly, Mr. Chair. Did all the parties agree on this? Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to passing House Bill 2162?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hayden?
Not an objection. Conflict of interest. Small woodlot owner.
So noted. Is there objection to passing House Bill 2162 as amended to the House with a do-pass recommendation? God, it's been so approved. House Bill 2286, Representative Schrader.
House Bill 2286A engrossed establishes a grant program through the Department of Education for the cost of training English as a second language teachers. It also provides that grant funds may be used by school districts to reimburse teachers for tuition costs associated with completing an ESL or bilingual teaching program. The grants will be made available to school districts meeting one of four criteria, including high growth of ESL or bilingual students in any school year or demonstration of extraordinary needs for ESL teachers or training for ESL teachers. The bill allows the State Board of Education to adopt rules for administration of the program. The Education Subcommittee amended the bill to remove a general fund appropriation and add new language, allowing the department to seek other sources of funding, such as gifts, grants, donations, and federal funds. The Subcommittee discussed providing direction to the department to seek federal funds for the program, agreed to include the direction in the budget report for Senate Bill 5512, the government department's grant and aid budget bill. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2286A engrossed as amended.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 2286? Senator Brown.
Just a technical question for the carrier. Would federal dollars be available through the 37.5 million dollars of federal dollars for special ed? Would this be available? Would that be available for this particular program, or would there be other federal dollars available?
The other federal dollars, not including the 37.6.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to moving House Bill 2286 out as amended to the House with a do-pass recommendation? If not, it so passes. House Bill 2322, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2322 closes the loop on construction fraud. The substantive components of 2322 related to disciplinary actions for the Construction Contractors Board. The bill also replaces the Oregon State Police Construction Fraud Unit with the requirement of the board investigate allegations of illegal action within the construction industry and to seek civil or criminal prosecution. The bill was referred to Ways and Means to add other funds expenditure limitations support an enhancement, enforcement agreement between the Department of Justice and the Board. The Board will fund the agreement out of existing revenue. The Department of Justice will receive an expenditure limitation of $365,600 for the enforcement of up to 80 Unlawful Trade Practices Act violations in the biennium, and that will fund 2.25 full-time equivalent for this effort. The Board will receive an expenditure limitation of the $682,140 for such Department of Justice funding. That's a transfer and a pass-through. And for the contract investigators, consumer education and assistance with district attorneys to prosecute construction contract fraud. The Ways and Means also adopted a budget note developed by the agencies in the construction industry that provides for annual report of the outcomes of this agreement. The Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of this bill.
Is there further discussion on House Bill 2322? Representative Patrick.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'm going to be a no on this particular bill. I think last session we worked in this particular matter. Oregon State Police and CCB were split last time. They were going to maintain a construction contractor, board person, and investigator with State Police. Most effective person in the state and the one that got all the accolades was from Southern Oregon. Her name is Officer Maureen Bedell. We were, during the legislative session, it was understood that she was going to remain to be the one person who was going to be doing construction contractor board our investigations. Yes. Consequently, Ms. Bedell was informed after the legislative session that unless she chose to move to Salem, she could not retain doing the construction contractor board investigation. So we lost a very good person. I don't think the agency acted in good faith. I don't think things were well done. So I just want to put that on the record. And I don't think it's appropriate. I think they took their most effective person away. So it kind of biased the way the results came back. So I will be a no.
Is there further discussion? Senator Dukes?
No.
Down there.
Careful how you wave your hand.
Sorry,
it's like an auction. If you raise your hand, you may buy it. Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, I sat on the subcommittee but heard this and gave a courtesy vote to pass it out. I'll be a no today. And one of the concerns I had is that there was an agreement between the Department of Justice and the Construction Contractors Board that they would refer from 60 to 80 people for prosecution during the next biennium. And I was stunned that they could state that they were going to pick a specific number of people to prosecute.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection other than the two recorded, Representative Hayden, Representative Patridge, voting no on House Bill 2322? Not, it passes. House Bill 2393, Senator Trill.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This relates to the Interstate Compact for Adult Offender Supervision. It comes from the Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously that it should be approved. House Bill 2393 passed the House by 50-1 vote, was referred to Ways and Means from the Senate Judiciary Committee where it had a hearing. House Bill 2393 abolishes the current interstate compact governing the supervision of out-of-state offenders and enacts a new compact that becomes operative when 35 states have joined. The new compact was drafted by the National Institute of Corrections in conjunction with the Council of State Governments and was designed to improve public safety and protect the rights of victims through the control and regulation of interstate movement of offenders. The new compact also requires Oregon to participate in an interstate commission and establish an Oregon State Council. The Public Safety Subcommittee reviewed the fiscal impact of the bill and concluded that activities required by this bill can be carried out within the approved budget for the Department of Corrections. Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously recommends approval of the bill.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 2393? The motion is to pass the bill to the Senate. They do pass recommendation. Is there objection? Not. It's been so approved. House Bill 2420, Representative Winters.
Mr. Co-Chair, I enthusiastically bring you House Bill 2420. The Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously recommends that House Bill 2420 be approved. House Bill 2420 came to Ways and Means from the House Judiciary Committee on Criminal Law. House Bill 2420 requires the Criminal Justice Commission to amend the rules to prohibit persons convicted of manufacturing substantial quantities of methamphetamine, including its salts and isomers, from being eligible for an optional probation sentence. Passage of this measure is expected to result in three additional offenders receiving prison sentences rather than probation by the end of 2001-03 budget period. The Public Safety Committee reviewed the fiscal impact of the bill, concluded that no additional appropriation to the Department of Corrections is necessary at this time, and adopted amendments that eliminated language that would have required a small general fund appropriation. The Public Safety Committee unanimously recommends approval of the bill.
Is there further discussion? Senator Dukes.
Mr. Chair, I guess I have a question of the carrier.
Carrier yield. All right.
According to the staff measure summary, it says appropriates $56,242 to the Department of Corrections for the costs associated with the bill.
That was removed. It was determined that there probably are some vacant beds in corrections.
Okay.
Is there further questions or discussion? The motion is to pass House Bill 2420 as amended out to the House with a do pass recommendation. Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. House Bill 3530, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. 3530 creates continuous allocation of the lottery funds for county fair account. The allocation is capped at 1% of the net lottery proceeds. County Fair Commission will distribute these funds each January based upon the merit formula, which is currently in statute. The amendments to the bill limited the allocation for the 2001-03 to $3.1 million. This amount will be adjusted in the future biennium based upon changes to the consumer price index for the Portland metropolitan area. This change provides a means for calculating the allocation each biennium so that the lottery funds expenditure can be tracked, and the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 3530.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 3530?
Down at the end.
Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to be offering an amendment in the form of House Bill 3905 that will strengthen fairs, asking fairs to develop some business plans, do broad developments to strengthen their governance and ability to seek augmenting revenues. Indications that fairs are striving to advance towards self-sufficiency and operate in compliance with state laws. Most of these records are kept now. Under my bill, they will be reported to a newly energized County Fair Commission. These are modest requirements supported by the county fairs. We have the co-chair's permission to hear the bill, perhaps as soon as tomorrow. I'll support this bill today, but I hope my accountability piece can be joined up with it.
Okay. Is there further discussion? If not, the motion is to pass House Bill 3530 as amended out to the House with a do pass recommendation. Is there objection? Not. It's been so approved. House Bill 3815 relating to agriculture. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3815A is a bill that updates laws regulating the sale, distribution, and labeling of fertilizers, agricultural minerals, agricultural amendments, and lime. Many of the regulations under current law are out of date with national standards for monitoring, labeling, and registration. Under the bill, the Department of Agriculture is directed to provide inspection, enforcement, and rulemaking for these fertilizers, agricultural minerals, and other products. Fines can be imposed as necessary and proper to ensure public health and safety. The bill creates civil penalties for gross negligence or willful harm to human health or the environment. A fertilizer research committee is established under the bill to advise the department regarding appropriate rulemaking for these products. Current law requires the registration of brands that may be a family of different products. This bill changes the law to require registration of each individual product. The bill sets fees in statute for manufacturers or bulk distributor licenses, product registration fees, evaluation fees, and tonnage fees. Amendments were made in the subcommittee to lower the registration fees from $50 to $25. Together with existing cash balances, the fees, as amended, are projected to provide sufficient revenue for the department to administer these programs for the next 4 years before fee adjustments again are needed. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval of House Bill 3815A as amended.
Is there further discussion on House Bill 3815? Representative Morgan, did the subcommittee indicate to the Department of Agriculture that they were supposed to use their current funds before they exercise a fee increase?
That's correct.
Okay, so they're not going to be doubling back and increasing fees for more money for the department without utilizing their reserve account first.
My understanding is that that's correct, Senator.
Okay. Representative Schrader?
No, question for the carrier. Was there any discussion about the extra FTE, the three FTE that were requested funded?
Might I call on our committee administrator to discuss
Fletcher?
That issue?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Schrader, the three FTE in the bill are for a natural resource specialist, an office specialist too, and two natural resource specialists and one office specialist too. Originally, there was a request in the bill for an information system specialist to help put this database online, but the department, in discussion with them, is able to build this database with their existing staff and will not need additional resources for that.
Yes.
Just a comment. It seems to me, from what I understand, and perhaps somewhat incorrectly, that they're just redoing what they've already done in a different manner, so I don't see the need for three new resources. I'll probably end up voting no on this particular bill.
Okay. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, what's the operative date of this act? Is it January 1?
Mr. Fletcher?
I don't see an emergency clause, so I'm assuming
but it's
January 1st, 2003. For section 4.
So it'll be January 1st. Right. All the other sections would go into effect January 1st. Because there's something else somewhere in here on operative dates. I just noted that the terms expired longer than 4 years out on some of the things, the way the language was, which would then be unconstitutional. But if it's operative January 1, it would be okay. But if they can appoint prior to January 1, 2002, then the terms of office are too long.
Okay, is there further discussion? If not, the motion is to pass House Bill 3815 as amended out to the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection? Representative Schrader, Senator Yee, and myself will be recorded as voting no. All others aye, and the motion passes. House Bill 3882, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3882 creates a separate fund for the Oregon Department of Transportation. It also provides that taxes collected on sales of fuel for non-road uses may be refunded to taxpayers, and if a claim for a refund is not filed, the funds would be retained and placed into the operating fund. ODOT estimates gross revenues available to the operating fund during the 01-03 biennium to be from $384,000 to as much as $1,920,000. The department estimates costs for certain activities determined to be ineligible for funding from the state highway funds to be approximately $50,000. Estimated expenditures to determine the volume of gasoline consumption for non-road use is $15,000 with an update approximately every 10 years. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee approved amendments that provide expenditure limitation for costs associated with determining the volume of gasoline consumption for non-road use, reduce the general fund and increase other fund expenditure limitation for the alcohol and drug testing program in the Motor Carrier Transportation Division, and require the Department of Administrative Services to estimate and certify the amounts to be transferred to the operating account, rather than the Oregon Department of Transportation estimating and certifying the amount of fuel taxes to be deposited in the account. The subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 3882 with a dash two amendments.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Senator Duke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What would the process be for getting a refund on the gas that I used in my leaf blower?
Senator Dukes, that was actually extensively discussed in committee with the apprehension that every leaf blower or motorboat or lawnmower person with a receipt from the 76 station would go to the department seeking a refund. That was extensively discussed. There was reassurance from the department that in the past, as these refunds have been eligible, those kinds of claims have not occurred. But there was concern on the part of the committee, given the high profile that this is now having and being discussed in the legislature, that it would invite such claims. I would defer to staff for any augmentation of my explanation.
So ODOT will set up a program? I mean, I don't have a leaf blower, but I do have a chainsaw and a lawnmower.
You're eligible for the refund, then.
So I need to get a receipt from the... Do we all have to declare conflicts of interest here? I mean,
Senator, the backdrop against which this bill comes to you is the opinion of the Attorney General. ODOT had been dealing with this in a particular way, and now, given the opinion, has to go ahead and segregate these. And I would defer to Ms. Jordan to amplify on my explanation.
Ms. Jordan, do you have any more comments?
Mr. Chair, Senator Deuce, only that they already have a process in place for refunding fuel taxes, that it is already, you are already eligible to do that. This is just recaptured, this bill just recaptures that isn't being already refunded into an operating fund for those non-constitutional items that they do.
So I should check with ODOT to see.
Yes, it's on
where
internet.
I send my receipts.
It is on the internet. There is a process that I described there.
Thank you.
Is there a further discussion? Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, how sweet it is. prior to 1985, citizens were able to file their receipts and get refunds on gasoline used for off-road. Leaf blowers, chainsaws, motorboats, anything off-road, they could file. Only about $70,000 per year were expended in receipts out of a total of about $1 million collected. In 1985, we passed a bill saying they could no longer file for the refund over my strong objections. I'm glad to see that the Attorney General now agrees with my objections, and people will be allowed to file for these refunds. It's the right thing to do, and I'm an enthusiastic aye vote.
Thank you. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair, just by way of
Representative Johnson.
Just by way of clarification, there was extensive discussion with the department, and a mechanism was provided to allow the department to come back to the legislature if the collection becomes onerous or if it exceeds the estimates in the staff summary.
Okay, is there further discussion? The motion is to move House Bill 3882 as amended to the House with a do pass recommendation. Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Other business, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval of a request for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to apply for $365,000 in federal grants from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the U.S. Geological Survey. Fish and Wildlife Department proposes three grants from the Cooperative Endangered Species Conservation Fund, totaling $335,000 to be used for the following projects. One, to develop habitat conservation plan for the threatened snowy plover and associated species along the entire Oregon coast. The Department of Fish and Wildlife will develop the plan in cooperation with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Two, preparing and implementing a candidate species conservation agreement in eastern Oregon relating to the Washington ground squirrel. Funds will be used to restore and manage habitat for the ground squirrel and eliminate exotic non-native vegetation in the area. Third, to develop a habitat conservation plan relating to Daphnia, harvest activities in Klamath Lake. Daphnia are water fleas, commonly associated and used as aquarium fish food. One outcome of the plan could be a takings permit application for commercial Daphnia harvest. Finally, a fourth grant for $30,000 of U.S. Geological Survey funds is proposed for field work to emphasize amphibians and reptiles in southern and central Oregon. This assessment will assist in assessing the amphibian and reptile population in that area. The subcommittee recommends approving the request to submit the grant applications with the understanding that upon receiving the grant approval, the Fish and Wildlife Department will return to the emergency board for more detailed review of the projects and to request federal funds expenditure limitation and position authority. Mr. Chairman, with regard to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife grant application to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In the first case, the snowy plover habitat conservation plan will allow additional access to recreation opportunities by developing a management plan in cooperation with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department that will conserve habitat for the snowy plover but also identify compatible uses like recreation. In the second case, preparing the candidate species conservation agreement in eastern Oregon relating to the Washington ground squirrel will have a beneficial effect, we believe, on potential agricultural opportunities and the siting of wind generation facilities that are a key part of the legislature's approach to energy generation. The Daphnia harvest activities in Klamath Lake are currently not possible. There must be a takings permit application that would depend on doing a survey and a habitat conservation plan regarding Daphnia so that commercial opportunities could be developed. Mr. Chairman, these three grant applications to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service were debated extensively in the subcommittee, extensively. The fourth grant application for amphibians and reptiles continues work that would assess sensitive species in the Calmeopsis wilderness area and in the southern Oregon area. So we recommend heartily that the applications all be approved.
Mr. President, Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan?
I'll only vote for this after I've heard from our expert on fleas whether or not Representative Schrader believes this is an appropriate bill.
Now, Mr. Chairman, let me point out these are non-terrestrial fleas, so resident expert usually confines his expertise to the geography of large animals and fleas, not water fleas.
Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, I was a very vociferous no in committee on these applications. Several of them have some significant problems, the ground squirrel does, but the one that really I felt was poor timing, and in politics, timing is important. At the same time, we are collecting food and sending semis of food to the Klamath Basin and looking for money to drill wells so that these people can survive down there. We are going to send money to study water fleas. I think that's unconscionable. I think we should use that money to buy irrigated land so these people can escape from the predicament which we have placed them in due to our assumption of the Endangered Species Act. And Mr. Chairman, I am a no vote.
For the benefit of the committee members, last night action was taken in this special subcommittee of Ways and Means to address the drought condition in Klamath County, and there will be a bill pending and coming forward that dedicates money for well drilling, so I want to set the record straight. It's been addressed. This is a request for grant money from the Federal Wildlife Agency, and has no impact on the Klamath situation. I understand the concerns expressed by the representative, but just state that for the record. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I agree with the chairman's comments. Representative Hayden seems to be saying that the legislature is telling the folks in Klamath Basin, let them steady fleas. That's not the case at all. In point of fact, this could create some job opportunities for providing a fishing opportunity for these fleas that can be captured and then sold to pet food stores.
My only disappointment isn't that there's a fifth grant, and the fifth grant would show the Department of Fish and Wildlife how to spend money legally within the confines of the legislative restrictions. That's the fifth grant they need to apply for, so I hope they do apply for such a grant in the future and are able to exercise good judgment in it.
Mr. Chairman, as the carrier is engaging in puns, let us quote Marie Antoinette, "The people have no bread, let them eat fleas."
Is there further discussion? The recommendation is approval of the four federal grant applications. Is there objections other than Representative Hayden?
All right.
We'll miss you. Senator Miller will be recorded as voting no. Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommend approving a request by the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to apply for $5.16 million in federal grants from the Bonneville Power Administration, administered by the Northwest Power Planning Council. The grant funds are designed for the Blue Mountain province that includes the Grand Round River Basin in Oregon and areas in Idaho and Washington. All state natural resource agencies considered proposals to include in the application and narrowed the list to 10 projects totaling $5.16 million federal year 2002-04. Only one or two of the projects are expected to be awarded funds. The proposed projects include $2,050,000 to address fish passage barrier inventory and prioritization, and conservation reserve enhancement program projects for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife proposes 8 projects totaling $3,114,000. These projects include Oregon Plan monitoring and law enforcement activities in the Blue Mountain province, riparian habitat restoration, fish screen installations, information gathering on whitefish, and disease risk assessment on Chinook salmon. Your subcommittee recommends approving the request to submit the grant application with the understanding the agencies will return to their emergency board if awarded funds for the requested expenditure limitation of federal funds.
Thank you. Is there a further discussion? Is there objection to the grant request? If not, it's been so approved. Department of Human Services, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On April 20th, 2001, the Department of Health and Human Services announced the availability of $5 million in competitive grant funds to provide services to older refugees. In response to the grant announcement, the Adult and Family Services Division of the Department of Human Services is proposing to develop programs to service older refugee population in their communities. And linkages between agencies and management refugee resettlement efforts and local area on aging. Allowable grant activities include case management, enrollment in Older Americans Act, congregate and nutrition programs, outreach to elderly refugees concerning available community services, home care, and adult daycare. AFS staff are working with representatives from Catholic Charities, Lutheran Family Services, Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, Jewish Family and Child Services, Immigrant immigrant and refugee community organizations, and Multnomah County Health Department and Aging Services agencies in the Portland metropolitan area to develop the grant application. The project is consistent with DHS's mission, requires no state funding, and AFS will not seek additional positions, authority to implement grant activities. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Is there a discussion? Is there objection to the request for approval of a federal grant application? Not, it's been so approved. Commission for the Blind, Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On May 30, 2001, the Federal Department of Education announced the availability of $32.3 million in competitive grant funds to promote the use of technology and education programs for low-income populations. In response to the grant announcements, the Commission for the Blind is proposing to apply for $180,000 to continue the existing technology center in Medford for 1 year. At its June 2000 meeting, the Emergency Board approved the Commission proposal to establish a Medford technology project in the 9901 biennium. To fund the project, the Board approved the use of interest from the agency's donations funds as well as matching Federal Rehabilitation Act funds. In addition, Southern Oregon Goodwill provided funding. Although the grant requires a 30% match, the Commission is proposing to use in-kind contributions as well as other funds from other participating states and not-for-profit agencies. The Commission will not request general funds or position authority to carry out the grant activities. Your Human Resources Subcommittee recommends approval.
Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Representative Johnson.
Just a question, Carrier. If the grants, private sector grants are not forthcoming, does that damage this program?
If the private sector grants, there's a committee that's been formed that is in support of this, including not-for-profit agencies and others. They're trying to look at sustainability on a particular project, so it could damage it, but I'm not sure where they're at in their sustainability plan.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the motion to recommend approval of the federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Education? If not, it's been so approved. Announcements that co-chairs would like to announce that the subcommittees will hopefully be meeting. We are operating on work session with 1 hour notice. Subcommittees are trying to move as rapidly as possible to bring their budgets to closure. We understand the desire to debate, discuss, and stall, but the direction by the co-chairs and the leadership is move the budgets. And so we would encourage the members to be as expeditiously as possible attending the meetings, participate, move the budgets, and we will be holding occasional full Ways and Means Committee meetings this week through the weekend. And so we would encourage the members to participate. Again, it'll be on a 1 hour notice, and work sessions are moving quite rapidly. Are there any subcommittee announcements at this point on subcommittees convening at a later time today? Representative Winters.
Human Services will be meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Super Sub or the Special Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today in room 170. Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, what are the legal parameters for posting the 1 hour notice? Can they be posted before 8 o'clock in the morning or?
They can be posted throughout the building. Ways and Means typically moves to 1 hour notification on work sessions. And this time of the session, there is a poster board outside the Ways Means office. There's a poster board on each floor by the elevator. There's a poster board outside the Senate House chamber. There's a poster board, I believe, also in the lobby.
My question, Mr. Chairman, is if we go home at 5 o'clock, is there a possibility of a meeting being posted at 6 to be held at 7 in the evening? And if so, how do we know?
There could be, and you're encouraged to call the office prior to your departure so we know where you are. Is there further questions? If not, we are recessed or adjourned at the call of the chair.
and bring on to that.